The great garden, it's there. It's amazing. Oh, it's so lush. It's fantastic. God made a good world, and it was good. It was a garden of yes. A garden of yes. Why don't we all join in? A garden of
yes.
No, it was better than that. It was a garden of
yes.
Or even louder than that, this side, of much louder than that side. A garden of
yes.
That's great. It's a garden of yes. And just a single tree of no. That's where we start our story. You see, you're made in the image of God.
Yes.
You'll get the idea. Thanks, Luke. You're to take care of the good creation.
Yes.
God makes male and female to help each other.
Yes.
God doesn't want us to be alone.
Yes.
You're free to eat from any tree in the garden. Oh, yes, see, I caught you. Yes, but, you've got to say the but. There's one tree that you've just got to stay away from. It was a garden of yes. A garden of yes. And just one tree of no. Verse 17 tells us, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why not? Just because God wanted to keep one for himself. He liked the look of that tree and didn't want you to touch it and put your grubby mitts on it. No. Did you see what it said in the Bible passage? For when you eat from it, you will surely die. Was God being a spoil sport? Oh, I've got one person answering no. Was God being a spoil sport? This is going to be a very long talk unless you enjoy it. Join in. Here we go. Was God actually being selfish?
No.
Was he being controlling? Was he being unkind? Was he being a loving father?
Yes.
Ah, yeah, well done. It's true, isn't it? A garden of yes, but a single tree of no. Was God being grumpy and selfish and mean and nasty? No, he just didn't want them to die. That's the situation that we've got. But we don't like being told no, do we? Do you like being told no? No. Ever heard of that? Have you heard your parents say no? Yeah, there's a couple of nods up here. Have you ever been told no, adults? Yeah, do we like it? No, we don't, do we? Even by a loving Father, our God in heaven, we don't like to be told no. Well, we've got a couple of points, and I've got some teenagers to come and give us a hand. I'll give them a round of applause as they come up and help me here. I need... Oops. Okay. Here we go. You know it's going to be an exciting talk when a bunch of teenagers come up to the front. Dressed in... I've got two more coming this way. Brilliant. Well, we're going to look at four things. Four things. Five people. You'll work out there's a bit of a difference. But anyway, firstly, we're going to look at the big lie. It's a big lie. Can you say big lie with me? It's a big lie. Secondly, we're going to look at the big sin. Can you say big sin?
Big sin.
Okay, next one, we're going to see the big mess. Can you say big mess?
Big mess.
Okay. And then we have the big hope.
Big.
Brilliant. That's where we're going to go as we look at this Bible story. Well, first of all, we're going to look at the big lie. Now, who was there being naughty and lying in the Bible at the very beginning? Can you spot where he is? Oh, I can hear. Is that a balloon that's been popped? What are you pointing to? It is a... Can you go and grab the snake? It was the serpent, it was a snake being sneaky And of course, this sneaky snake. Well, of course it didn't. It wasn't really a lie, though, was it? It started off as kind of, it was just a question, you know. The snake wasn't being that naughty. You could take it off the pole if you want to, stick it on your hand. But it was a question. It was an innocent question. Did God really say? Have you ever sung that? Did God really say that you shouldn't do this and you should do that? It starts with a question. And the little question has a bit of an exaggeration, you know. Oh, you can't even touch it or you'll die. Well, that was never in what God said. It starts with a half-truth and a suspicion, and seeds of doubt are sown. The suggestion that God's, well, he doesn't want the best for you. And God's being selfish and holding stuff back from you. He's stopping you from having your eyes open. That's what it tells us in the Bible, that the serpent said, God's stopping you from being like himself. And so the big lie, the serpent, hold him up, the big lie continues today. Is God really holding stuff back from you? Is he really wanting the best from you? Is he really? Well, we live our lives questioning because the serpent, who we don't think that Satan exists, if you came to Screwtape Letters, you'll have spotted that. The biggest lie he can give us is that he doesn't exist. And that actually that God doesn't really want the best for us. He doesn't really want us to have all things and be in a right relationship with him and stop dying. Well, that's where it starts. God's holding stuff back from you. He doesn't want the best for you. But we know from the story that the garden is a garden of... It's a garden of?
Yes.
And it's only one tree of?
No.
So God wants the best from you, for you. Romans 3:23 tells us that actually we all end up being a bit like Adam, listening to those whispers, whispering to those lies, whispering to those doubts. All of those things we hear and we are tempted in our own little way. But our big lie turns into a big sin. What have you got in your bag? It's fruits and a receipt. Lovely. Well, do you know, in the Bible, it doesn't tell us what fruit it is. So children, you can't say that you shouldn't eat apples because they were on the garden tree. No. We're not told. And actually, you've got a whole garden of yes and just one tree of no. We don't know what it is. So whether it's an apple or a banana or whatever it was, it's not the kind of fruit that it is. It's the fact that God just said, no, don't eat from that tree, for you will die. God wanted our best. He wanted Adam's best. But notice what Adam did. Adam looked at the fruit and said, yeah, but it looks good. Have you ever argued that? When your parents have said no, and you've turned around and gone, yeah, but it looks good. It looks fun. Sliding down the banister. It looks great. Filling up the bath till it's right at the top. That looks great fun. No. But you're being a sport. Well, the truth is this, is that it all starts with that sense in which sin, when God doesn't want the best for us, we turn around and we say, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to you and your rules. That's what we do. Have you ever done that? Adults, have you ever done that? Let's say that together. S, shove off God. I'm in charge. N, no to you and your rules. And that's what we do. And we go, yeah, but it looks nice. See? It was nice. And that's the story. You don't need to eat that one or touch it, just put it there. So the big lie turns into the big sin. And it's not eating fruit. It's turning round to God and saying, no, shove off, I'm in charge, no to you and your rules. That continues today as well. That big sin Oh, no, it doesn't. Oh, no, it doesn't. Because we've learned from our mistakes, haven't we? And that's the truth, isn't it? The truth is we haven't learned from our mistakes. We are all in Adam. We're just like Adam. We follow our eyes and say, but it looks good. Do you ever do that? Oh, yeah, but it makes me feel right. Have you ever done that? That's where we get to. And it turns our silly situation where we're listening to the lie and then we follow the big sin. Sin turning to God and saying, shove off, I'm in charge, no to you and your rules. And then do you know what happens? This happens in my family. Where are my family? They're here somewhere. God appears to Adam and says, what happens? And what did Adam say? It was her. Did you spot that? Did you spot that in the reading? And then when he went to Eve, what did she say? It was a snake. Do you see they blamed each other? We're going to see in the rest of the Bible as we get on to Cain and Abel. It's not that they make mistakes, it's that they then try and cover them up and blame other people. God loves it when we're sorry, we repent, and we come back to you and go, look, we're sorry, God. That's what he wants. But what we see in Adam is what we do from generation to generation. We blame others and we keep on making those mistakes. And as a result, well, Romans 5:19 tells us, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. We're all in Adam. We're all like Adam and Eve. But there's great news. There's great news to come. So what is this big mess? We've got a big bag of rubbish here. Big bag of rubbish. What happens? Well, did you see from the Bible that it makes a mess of our relationships? Did you spot that? It makes a mess of our relationships with God. You're banished. You can't stay here in the garden. That's what we're told. It damages our relationships with one another. Do you read what it says? I will make your pains in childbearing very severe, and her desire will be for her husband, and he will rule over you. That's not a healthy thing. That's an unhealthy thing. That is the result of the broken relationships and the broken world that we live in because we don't listen to God and don't think he's got the best for us. We have damaged relationship with the animals. We don't look after them, do we, as well as we should do? So the Lord God said to the serpent, because of this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. We know that the ground is cursed and it's hard to farm from that point onwards. Well, we've done 2 weeks of talking about marriage and identity and gender. And to be honest with you, we could have spent a whole year talking about the ways in which we live in a broken society where true love has been distorted, where kindness and love and do what God wants us to do has been twisted and broken, and we're settling for second best. There's no surprise that in Firma Playground that the teachers need to be there to encourage the children to do right. Are there people who are naughty on the playground at school? Are there any naughty people on the playground at school? Maybe not at Firma, maybe at Ashdown. Anybody from... No. I'm sure at every school there is naughtiness in the playground. It's true, isn't it? And that's the way it is. Everywhere we see people not looking after and caring for this wonderful world that we have. But there's no excuse. We should care for creation, care for each other, and we should seek to restore our friendship with God. That's the goal. So we've had, firstly, the big lie. Secondly, the big sin. Thirdly, the big mess. Then we have the big hope. Oh, this was the big reveal. This was the big moment. Jedi, take your place. We need someone to step in. We need a new hope. But does it come in the shape of Luke Skywalker? No. The Bible says we've got a better hero, a better one. Take a seat He looks more like a shepherd. That's you with the sheep. You stand up. Great. Did you notice in the story what will happen? It's more like the shepherd and the sheep rather than some sort of superhero or Jedi that's going to come. And what does it tell us about the superhero that is going to come? Verse 15, what does it say? And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her offspring and your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. You see, this is what's going to happen. The snake, come this way. And the shepherd and the lamb, come this way. Come stand in the middle. Your brothers, are you all right? You can get closer. There you go. And what's going to happen is, no, you're not friends. Because you're representing Jesus and this is representing Satan. And that's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be a fight. But enough. But what does it say in our Bible passage? He will strike his heel. Well, what does, when snakes strike the heel of someone, what happens? In theory, you die, poison. But actually, what will he do? Jesus will crush Satan's head. He will bite your heel and kill you. But we see in this little clue at the beginning of the Bible that there's going to be a serpent crusher, and we know who's going to beat Satan. Oh, come on. This side are a little bit sure. Who's going to win?
Jesus.
Who's going to win?
Jesus.
And he is going to be the ultimate serpent crusher. And Satan's going to be defeated. The lamb is going to... Easy. The lamb is going to win, and Satan is going to be gone one day. Hooray! Well, that's the truth. Thank you very much, gents. So my question to you is this, is from the story of Genesis 3. Will you see the hope? Or will you, first of all, acknowledge the lie that's out there, that God doesn't want the best for you? And that's not saying he's going to give you the best car or he's going to give you the best job, but actually he wants the best relationship with you and with creation. Restored, that perfect relationship where God walked with Adam and Eve. That's the best for you, not stuff. Secondly, will you acknowledge that you sin like, well, as we all do, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what we do is we follow our eyes and what looks good and what feels right to us, even though it flies in the face of what God wants for us. Will you acknowledge the big mess that we make of the world that we live in? And actually, although we are responsible and we need to tidy it up, we still can't do it all. Actually, we can't undo our sin. We need a new hope, not a Jedi, but we need Jesus to come and save us from our sin. So let's put our hands together, our eyes closed. Let's ask for God's help, that we wouldn't listen to the lie, that we wouldn't sin, but when we do, we would say sorry and come back to God, trusting in Jesus, our new hope. Let's put our hands together, our eyes closed, and we'll say an amen, 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 amen. I agree, amen, clap, clap, because amen means I agree. We'll do that at the end. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we look at Genesis 3 and we see that first Adam, and we are sad because he makes such wrong decisions. But in Adam, we see ourselves. We make wrong decisions as well. Thank you for the second Adam, for Jesus, who comes and makes everything right. May we forever be saying sorry to you and putting our trust in him. And as a result, trying to please you with a right relationship with you and with the world that you created. Thank you for our garden of yes. Guard our hearts from that tree of no. We need your help to do this. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 I agree, amen. Give these handsome young gentlemen a round of applause. Thank you ever so much. That's all right, I'll take that.